Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. And this one comes in, Mark, are you saying that you created Come On Man on ESPN? I thought that was Chris Carter's invention. So Come On Man, which they do on Monday Night Football. They did it last night. Steve Young doing a Come On Man in regards to Teddy Bridgewater. You say you created that?
Oh, yeah.
Controversy.
There's no controversy about it.
Taking credit? Is this once again you taking credit for something that somebody else said or created?
No, not at all.
I know it well.
Not at all. No, I was doing something for several years called Off the Mark, where because I looked at every play of every game every week, and I would find little quirky things that made me giggle. And so I put a segment together called Off the Mark. I had it on a weekly basis. I think I had it every Thursday or something. And it was usually 6-7 plays deep, you know, and it was just quirky. It was funny things that happened. And long story short, it was fairly popular on NFL Live. So the producers of Sunday Countdown created off of that, off the mark. They started doing Come On Man and putting t-shirts, and they were using the same clips that I had created that I had put together on Thursday. They were using them on Sunday. And then as the TV world, now I am their intellectual property. I know how you feel. I'm telling you, I feel your pain because they started taking the same stuff that I had already done and repackaging as a Come On Man. And then I started getting social media people like, oh, Off the Mark is just a ripoff of Come On Man. I like, are you kidding me? I invented Come On Man. And so then I literally refused to do it anymore. And they were taking all my clips, and I refused to do it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. It just is, it's run its course. You guys have stolen. You got t-shirts and hats and everything else. And good for you. You know what? Congratulations. You own it. That's great. Then they go, well, now that you're not doing it, can you spend some time, you know, looking for plays so that we can do them on Come On? I go, I was like, up yours. I'm not doing anything for you. So yeah, that's how the whole Come On Man thing started, was basically ripping off my Off the Mark. I had it for several years, several seasons before Come On Man even was created. So what Chris Carter did to you is what you do to me. Yeah, well, it wasn't Chris Carter. It was the producers. I mean,
but Carter was the one that became first synonymous with it.
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't him. I mean, they just presented the idea. I mean, Chris Carter wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. So, yeah, that's how Come On Man actually started.
Hmm.
And who knew? Yeah, we could get confirmation. Well, if you want to, you know, get confirmation from my boy Wingo, he's actually on a plane right now, but
Wingo's too busy dealing and talking and hanging out with Halle Berry.
It's a great point. Why would he want to come on this dog and pony show?
Right.
He's talking to Halle Berry right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Bonus question mark.
Okay. Go ahead. Lay it on me.
This is Greggy from Littleton. Mark, did you see George Kittle manhandle Von Miller?
Yes.
2 feet all the way up pancake.
Mm-hmm. I did. George Kittle is the best.
Is he your prototype tight end in terms of being able to pass, catch, block, everything? A guy who takes as much satisfaction in a crushing block as he would running and catching a 25-yard seam route for a touchdown.
He takes a lot more pride. You're not even close. Takes a lot more pride in blocking people than he does catching the ball. I think there are tight ends who are better route runners than George Kittle. Now, I don't think there's any tight ends that are better after the catch than George Kittle is. And I don't think there's any tight end that blocks better than George Kittle does. Has more fun doing it. He is absolutely crazy. So I think he is the most complete tight end in football.
So are you being a little bit, I think what I'm hearing is your standards, again, this goes back to your Shanahan bromance for both Mike and Kyle. I think your standards of tight end play are so ridiculously high, set by a guy like George Kittle, that you're just too unfair with Noah Fant.
No, oh my, you are like, what a Richard.
Really?
Is it
unfair to compare? Forget about just Noah Fant. Is it unfair to compare maybe 2/3 of the starting tight ends in the NFL compared to what a George Kittle can do? And you shouldn't look at all these tight ends through the lens that you look at a George Kittle.
Why?
Because he's an outlier.
Because he gives effort. Because he likes to block people. Because he wants to block people. Because
you think what he does is just simply, it's all just effort. I'm not denying the effort, but there's got to be a skill to it as well.
Of course there's a skill. There's a huge skill to it.
That not everybody possesses. Very few possess.
Why do they not possess it?
You tell me.
Because they don't want to do it.
So you think it's just a matter of it is a skill you can do and maybe even be very good at, master it, simply by wanting to?
Well, by wanting to, by working on it, by doing, like, yes, you can. Can you get better at it? Absolutely. Now, there's some guys that are just naturally gifted at coming off the ball, and just like some guys are naturally gifted at running or cutting or doing those things, but there has to be a level of commitment. Again, very much the same thing that we talk about, Mike, on that Teddy Bridgewater play. Lack of commitment, lack of effort, lack of want to. Put on the film. There is a lack of desire at the point with Noah Fant. Now, technique and everything, he has to clean it up. But to really clean that up, you got to understand that that's part of your job. That's like, I don't understand. A receiver that doesn't want to block, that's part of your job. Again, it comes down, for me, it comes down, do you realize that we all rely on one another? Like, if I was coaching this team and I got a piss poor effort from Noah Fant or from Jerry Jeudy, I would put on film of other guys busting their butts to make a play happen. Right? And the hits and the physicality and all the different things that go into it. And then just say, look at what they're doing to try to make this play successful. And look at your effort.
Wait a minute. What, you just threw Jeudy in there. What's your beef with Jeudy?
I don't think he feels like that's his job.
He's not a football player?
No, he's got great feet. He runs routes. I mean, he dropped a ball last week. He had an offsides last week. He had a fumble last week. He had dropped two balls last week in my going through the tape. Had a fumble. Had, like I said, a false start. At, you know, week before on a bubble screen, he chose not to block anybody.
You're right? Talking about three young, highly drafted, core players in Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, and Jerry Jeudy, who you all question their football willingness, their want to.
Yeah.
Their ability just to be football players.
Well, their ability, their commitment to doing those things. Like, again, now, I'll put this on coaching. If you're not demanding it, then you're allowing it to happen. If there are no consequences, you don't get a play for me. Go back to Mike Shanahan and Shannon Sharp. You don't block people, you don't get to play. It's pretty simple. Would you like to play? Mike Shanahan had a conversation with, I know he had a conversation with Sharp, that teams were asking to trade for Sharp, and he was taking the phone calls. Sharp was livid. He said, whoa, I'm not reaching out to try to trade you. I'm just listening to offers. And if you're not going to block people, you can go somewhere else because it's required. It is a requirement when you play for me to be completely committed to what we do as an offense. For us to be successful as an offense, you have to be committed to blocking people. And that goes for you as a tight end, Rod Smith, Eddie McCaffrey. Goes to our fullbacks, goes to our O-line, goes to our quarterback on the back end of boot keeps and stuff. If you don't block the backside by holding out that fake and really running it, then we're not going to be successful. And if I can't get 100% buy-in from you, you're not going to get to play. And those are things that I see, again, and I've said this a million times, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record. You think you're working hard. You think you know what it takes to win. You think you're committed. You don't know. This team doesn't know. Sorry. And it's apparent on film.
So that's why listening to you, it just only makes me even more convinced that, you know, for people who are like, hey, you got to start firing Vic. You got to start firing coaches now. You got to send a message that this isn't acceptable and you got to start to change the standard around here. And my point's always been, why? Because until this thing is entirely blown out, what are you really doing? All you're doing is you're moving the proverbial deck chairs around the Titanic. What are you really doing? And that's why, to me, it's look, this day is coming, all right? George Payton right. You are going to have the massive push the reset button that everybody wants. There's going to be new owners here. There will be a new coaching staff here. There'll be new quarterbacks here. It's all coming. But what you just described over the last couple of minutes is my response to, does it really make any sense? Is it going to make any kind of impact if you just fire a coach or two right now? And are you really sending a message? Are you really changing the way that the culture is around here by simply doing that? Are you sending some sort of, to me, the damage has already been done, and right. A couple of tweaks here and there with the coaching staff. You've already laid it out. You've already got guys like Cortland Sutton, Teddy Bridgewater, Noah Fant, Jerry Jeudy, who you can point to any number of examples on film and say, there you go. That guy made a business. Hey, everyone's talking about Teddy's business decision. I bet you can find 10, 15, 20 examples over the last month alone of guys who made business decisions.
Sure.
Who didn't give the requisite effort.
Right.
That nobody even picked up on.
So
everyone's picking up on it. So that firing a coach or two is going to change all that? This thing needs a massive reset.
I understand
that. That's not going to happen until the offseason.
Okay, I understand that. But why would you continue to let that be the standard? So, like,
can I just say, real quick, and then go on?
Yeah.
Is that you shouldn't, but I don't see how there's anything you can do between now and the end of the season to change that.
So,
or to send a definitive message.
That's where I would argue with you. So I would say, all right, Vic Fangio certainly hasn't gotten it done. And this is not a personal thing. You had an opportunity to get it done. Your team is not good. It hasn't been good. It's never been good. And you can sit there and say, well, I took over a bad roster. Yep. And you've had it for now 3 years. And you know what? The same things that plagued you in year one are plaguing you in year three. And so that's a coaching issue. You're not, as a head coach, you haven't gotten it done. So then if you're in charge of your George Payton over there, you excuse him of his duties, and then you appoint the next guy. Who is it? Zach Azani. You know, Munchak. I don't, whoever it is, you say, you need, as a coach, to hold these guys accountable. We need better effort, and we're going to play the guys that give us that effort. I'm not even, like, I go through that film, and, you know, Quinn Miners got his first start. Now, I thought, looking at Quinn Miners, he went the wrong way on one play. You know, it was a mental bust, went the wrong way on a play. Happens. I thought in pass pro, I thought he was pretty good. He gave up, you know, pressure. I thought he was pretty good. I thought he didn't understand the levels a little bit in some of the games and some of the pickups in games, like where your guy goes across your face and the backer comes and you got to snap him off and sink a little bit and pick that guy. But like some things that weren't super clean. He and Javonte Williams were the two most physical players on the field. You can't question me on that. He was their best, most physical offensive lineman. And I looked at that and said, that dude can lead my team. Because if he's making a mistake, at least he's making it 100 miles an hour trying to shorten somebody's neck. I can coach that. I can live with that. I can live with you busting a play and going the wrong way on a, you know, on a 15 handoff and you block at 14, right? It happens occasionally. I can clean up some of the game stuff that you were on different levels than the other guys and it got you edged and it wasn't as clean as it needed to be. I mean, I wouldn't coach that up, but I can't coach up a lack of effort if you're not willing to give it. Yeah, like that stuff is infuriating.
But does it make you wonder if you have the right kind of guys? So you're telling me but if you bring in all it takes is the right kind of coach, and all of a sudden Noah Fant's going to morph into George Kittle, Jerry Jeudy's going to morph into Ed McCaffrey, and
no,
like guys are going to stop making business decisions. What about the individual himself, right, and the pride he's got?
Right. And you have to hold him to that standard. That's your job as a coach. And if he's not willing to give you that standard, then he doesn't get to play.
But if he doesn't have it, if he can't bring it on his own, do you have the right guy? Is that somebody that you're ultimately going to be long-term to depend upon?
You're not going to find out if you just allow that guy to do that. If you're allowing a guy, week in and week out to get torched or tossed on the line of scrimmage because he's not using the proper technique or his effort isn't what it needs to be or whatever. Like, again, you're coaching or allowing it to happen.
But these guys that you want to, let's say if you replace Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur, these are still assistant coaches that you would turn to that have been here. Are you telling me that they've been muzzled? Are you telling me that they haven't already held these opinions of players that – they haven't shared those opinions. They haven't voiced their concerns.
No, they haven't voiced their anger.
And now all of a sudden you're assuming that if they're given a chance to take over, they're now all of a sudden going to things that they've bottled up for months.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if you have a different voice in there saying, hey, this is the standard that we're going to play with. And if you can't play that way, if you can't coach it that way, you're gone too. You're going to be gone anyhow. Hey, you know what's going to happen? And this goes back to your point of like, well, nothing's going to change. So don't change anything or like it's already set in stone. No, I don't buy into that. I'm like, you're coaching for your next job because you're not going to work here. You're no longer going to work here. You're coaching for your next job. So in these last seven games coming off this bye week, your damn players better start playing better. We better see the jump. We better see the effort. We better see the attitude. We better see the improvement. Because you know what? That's what those next coaches are going to be looking at, whether you're going to have a job or not. Hey, man, it's time to pucker up.
I just don't think there's any magic pill or potion out there.
There is no
magic. That exists within this coaching staff.
There is no magic pill or potion. It's about accountability, Mike.
Now, one thing is clear. And we noticed it a couple weeks ago, maybe deviated from it after the patting on the back after the Dallas win. But one thing is clear is that the memo has been read and is being executed by Vic Fangio that he needs to stop pointing the finger and taking more responsibility. This is just a mashup of what Ben put together from his answers yesterday at his press conference. See if you notice a theme.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to get back to work. Coaches first and foremost, and then get our guys ready to play. And we just need to have some good things happen to us, which will come through better coaching and better playing. No, we've looked at it, and there isn't. We had a tremendous crowd there yesterday. Really appreciate the support of the fans. We have the greatest fans in the NFL. Ultimately, we just have to coach better and then get our guys to play better. One game at a time, and we've got to take it one day at a time in our preparation. We've got to try and fix all of our correctable errors, and we've got to do a better job of coaching these guys. You know, we've got to do a better job of calling the game, me on defensively, Pat and Mike offensively. We all have to be better. No, we just have to coach the guys that we have playing for us. We've got to coach them better, and this starts with coaching, and we've got to do a better job of that. No, there wouldn't be, you know, both Tom and I have to do a better job of coaching the special teams, and we've got to give it to our players and coach them better so that we don't have these types of plays happen.
Stark. Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Stark. Contrast to what we've been hearing all year long.
Coach them better. We got to coach them better. We got to coach them better. We got to coach them better so they can play better. We got to coach them better. I would just say you got to hold them accountable. Like, you know what? You know, the only thing you can find players, you know, you can put video up on the video screen. You can do all those things. You know what hurts a player at his core more than anything else? Benching him. You want to send a message? Bench a dude. Bench a guy.
And man, even if you know the guy you're going to turn to in his place is just vastly inferior?
It's the most humiliating thing that can happen to you as a player. Take away recess. You no longer get recess. You have to sit in and write, I will give better effort on blocking on the chalkboard 100 times where we're out there playing dodgeball.
I remember that.
Foursquare. Tetherball.
God, I just got a flashback. Third grade, Mrs. Hurley. I had to sit in a few recesses and write on the board.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I was a bit of a talker in class.
Oh, it's odd. That's really strange.
I used to fashion myself as a bit of a class clown / class instigator.
No,
I know that shocks people.
Shocking.
Yeah.
So you were.
I was a wedge driver in third grade.
You were driving the wedge in the third grade.
And Mrs. Hurley, he would have none of it.
Mrs. Hurley, he would say, that's it, Michael.
That's it. Oh, she did call me Michael.
Yes.
She's one of the few people. She called me Michael.
Now you were.
If she knew my middle name, she'd probably use my middle name too.
You know what recess was for me?
Just a chance to dispense justice?
It was, and it was also a chance because I was the dumb kid in class. So, you know, it was really a chance to get street cred. They'd be like, hey, you don't want, hey, if we're doing a class spelling bee, you don't want him on your team. Like that, you do not want that guy. If we're having a readathon or anything like that, that kid is not the kid you want to pick. He's the last. He's like, let's see. Who should we take? And there's two guys sitting there. Like, I'm the last two guys just sitting there moping, you know. Oh, man. They're like, we don't want that guy on our team. If it comes to the debate team or whatever. But when it came to recess, first overall pick. Boom. First overall pick. Recess. Boom. We'll take him. The dumb kid.
Come on.
We'll take the dumb kid. Sense of pride, chest swollen a little bit.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Again, any self-esteem issues that you may have had in high school, I submit the picture of you late in high school.
Oh, there were no self-esteem has never been.
No, a Mark Slareth issue.
No, that's
no,
not.
No, no. You got oodles of that. The tank is overfilling with that.
Yes.
Coming up next, our buddy George Carl's going to join us. Always love our weekly chats with the coach. And I'm very curious to find out how he would use the intriguing Bull Bull.
We got a glimpse of last night. That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
We're going to have George Carl join us here in a couple of minutes. I want to ask him about Bull Bull. Text her. If Bull Bull wasn't named Bull Bull, he'd be far less interesting to the fan base. This guy is so much ado about nothing.
He's tall. He's got long pants.
I will ask George about him in a minute. Yeah. Corey in Myrtle Beach, if you have to come out and apologize for lack of effort, you truly don't want to be out there and should not be on this team. You are a pro and making millions playing a game that you've always wanted to do. Same goes for coaches. Boy, I get it. I get it, folks. I get it that you're frustrated with Teddy Bridgewater, and it was an embarrassment, and you don't like to have this being talked about on Monday Night Football and national TV, but boy, it seems like the character assassination of Teddy Bridgewater has been a bit extreme. This is a guy who nearly lost a leg, had a horrific injury playing this game that you're supposedly supposed to be willing to go out and play for fun. And he's come back from all of that. I don't know. I think we maybe should check ourselves a little bit before we completely condemn this guy's character and toughness.
And you can't question his football character. He had a really horrendous decision, a really bad play. That's what it boils down. Hey, man, he stood in the face of fire, took one in the jaw against Baltimore, completed a pass, and was on concussion protocol. Fought back the next week to come out and play. Like, he's taken him. It's not like he's afraid. He's not fearful. I mean, he's as tough as they come. He made a really bad, bad decision in the heat of a game, and it's unacceptable. He took responsibility for it. Now, if you know, I know that you're probably the toughest kid in your junior high class, and you would never put up with this, but give me a break. All right? Let's just, the fact of the matter is very few have the onions to do what Teddy Bridgewater does on a week-to-week basis, and just understand that about yourself.
George Carl joins us now, our Nuggets analyst, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that, Coach. I'm sure during the course of your long, long coaching career, you had plenty of instances where guys did not give the requisite effort. How did you handle those moments?
I think you got to call them out, and then you move on. You call them out, and you probably do it individually. And then if you think it's needed, you do it in front of the group. And I think that's what will happen. It was a weird play for me. There's no question he lacked intensity. But in the same sense, he looked like he was uncomfortable. He looked like he was in a strange land almost. I mean, his history, I think, gives him at least one or two of these, to be honest with you. What he has come back from, what he's become. And I'll be honest with you, I think he's played pretty damn well this year. Not consistent, not good enough, probably. But better than what we've seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. Inside the locker room, you get a lot of leeway when you've come back from what he's come back from. The injury, the horrific injury where you almost lost your leg, and it took you about 2.5, almost 3 years to rehab that thing. So I think that does give you a little bit of cachet and a little bit of freedom. Hey, let's move on to the Nuggets really quick. Have we seen a blueprint going small against this Nuggets team? And at least while Murray's still away, that's going to be something they're going to have to deal with in the future?
Going small is not only against the Nuggets. It's prevalent throughout the NBA. I've seen more four guards on the court this year than I've ever seen. The NBA, I'll be honest with you, Mark. I think the NBA is drunk a little bit. I mean, here you have Washington and Chicago, two teams that didn't make, I don't think they made the playoffs last year, leading the Eastern Conference. There's so many surprise wins and blowout wins in the NBA. Golden State, it looks like everybody thinks they're going to win the NBA championship, but people don't realize their schedule's been really kind to them. But going small, as you said last night, the three ball was created, small is okay. Small might be the best way to go. And until we figure out what to do with taking 40 to 50 threes a game, I think small is going to be a part of the personality of the NBA.
Coach, would you welcome the opportunity to coach Bol Bol, or would you be sort of uncomfortable with how to use him?
Oh, I think you know that answer. I think I love him. I mean, he's a unique player. He's a, what, 7'1", 7'1", I mean, he's huge, skinny and little, but he's actually a perimeter player more than a power player. But, you know, that's irregular, but sometimes outside-the-box type of things like that can be effective. And he's still a little bit of a shot block presence. I thought what he did last night was, I might give him another chance. This is what kind of why I felt after it was all over.
So how do you manage that with the players that you have, and you manage a guy like Bol Bol, who is that kind of unique presence, like you said, more of a perimeter player, although he's 7'1". How do you manage working in younger guys with the veterans that are already there and manage those minutes as a coach?
Well, Bol Bol, in my mind, is an insurance policy. I mean, he's your, 10th, 11th man. But there will be situations this year because of fatigue or injuries or travel that a 20-minute window or a 15-minute window is going to open up, and he's got to be ready for those opportunities. Kind of what I've been told is that's his problem. He doesn't stay ready. He gets down too much when he's not playing, and he doesn't stay focused and intense enough for the coach to feel confident in putting him in the game.
All right, George, man, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Mark. Good night. Have a good day, guys.
Yep. All right. That's our Nugget analyst, George Carly's, presented by Bet River Sportsbook. Check out Coach's new media company, Truth Plus Media, with podcasts on sports, leadership, and human performance. Find them at truthplusmedia.com, Apple, Spotify, Google, and YouTube. George Carlin, Mark Schlereth, contemporaries, as we are well aware of now.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. That's 100%.
You don't have it handy, Betty. Ah! I hate it when it falls flat like that. He has no idea. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
Mark, you and I are about the same age.
It just lost. You know what? At that point, why bother? Boy, I am quite honestly doing this
I really don't care.
No, I've been doing this a long time. I am really kind of, I don't know what the word is. I guess I'm kind of amazed at the absolute vitriol over this, over you, Teddy Bridgewater. I don't want to hear it. There's nothing this guy can do to earn my respect and my allegiance back. This is kind of surprising how many people are this mad and have had it and can't forgive what this guy did. And we'll share some of the text. You're reading some of them as well. Well, I'm surprised. I honestly am surprised. We'll read them. We'll read them. Coming up next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. It is quite evident, looking at our text line, small sample, but one thing I've learned over the years, that our texters tend to be a pretty fair representation of how Bronco country or Denver sports fans are feeling. So I give our texters credit for that. But if that's the case, man, folks are done with and over and out when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater. And even mentioning the fact that, here's a guy who nearly lost a leg and has had the guts and courage to come back to call out his toughness. Nope, people don't want to hear that either. Here's a little sampling on the text line. If I'm the head coach, Teddy can't play QB for me. He's the cowardly lion. Some more. Hold on. All right, I'm getting so many here.
They're coming in hot, Mike.
They're coming in hot. Holy smokes. Teddy is a bum. I want him gone yesterday. Because of his greatness, Peyton Manning is allowed to run away from a fumble, but Teddy Bridgewater avoiding the tackle. He's a giant piece of crap. What a joke.
Wow.
Let's see. Colin in Windsor. Teddy almost lost the leg. Wasn't it just last night that Alex Smith was admonishing him for that very same play? Keep your pity where it belongs, Evans. Mark, I'll show you my onions any day. This isn't about junior high.
Ooh, you're being asked to meet behind the school at 3 o'clock.
Wait a minute, wait.
I'll tell you about my onions if you ask. Nothing to do with junior high.
Who wants to show me their onions? That sounds like...
You what?
What? I don't.
You were saying that.
I don't.
You were saying that some of the people who are being critical of Teddy's toughness are folks that were really great football players in junior high.
I don't want to see your onions, though. That just sounds weird.
Oh, I like that.
I don't think Alex Smith. You use the great Zach Byes line. Two things can be true at the same time. Alex Smith can admonish Teddy Bridgewater for not making the requisite effort.
Mm.
But do you really think that Alex Smith, after everything Alex Smith has been through, would question Teddy Bridgewater's overall toughness? You can question the decision making. I just think it's unfair to question his toughness.
I do. Yeah, I do too. I mean, you can question the decision making on that play, the turning down on that particular play, but you can't question the guy's desire and toughness. You don't rehab for two straight years to try to get back to playing this game when you've had multiple surgeries, almost lost your leg like Alex Smith. You don't question the guy's overall toughness. That's inappropriate. Here's the other thing. What's your plan? Like everybody who wants Teddy Bridgewater gone, what's your plan? You just want Drew Lock to play for the sake of Drew Lock playing? Like, what's your plan?
It's the same thing that fuels the fire Vic Fangio, fire Pat Shurmur. Everybody understands. I give the fans the benefit of the doubt and the credit to know. They know that what they're proposing doesn't really change things. But And they understand things aren't going to really change until the offseason when there is a new owner in place and we truly get a sense of what is the direction, what is the mindset, what is the culture, what is the message being delivered with the new owners of the Denver Broncos.
The reasons I took this job is because of Vic Fangio.
We won't know all that until then.
Right.
We strongly suspect there will be a brand new coaching staff here next year. Okay, so while people understand that these mammoth changes are coming down the road, they just want, I don't know, for one of them, they just want their pound of flesh now.
Yeah.
Do something now.
Please.
I get it. I get it. It's probably not going to change much, but do something now.
Right.
For the love of Pete.
And I understand that aspect, and I have a part of that. I think I have a part of that. Like, I mean, Stokely certainly has the same type of thought process, right? Like, I need some change, just even for change sake, just to shake some things up and let people know they're on
notice.
Listen
to our man Stoke, who clearly has had it.
I'm even more pissed off now. Nobody's holding anybody accountable. You know what I'm saying? Like, Vic needs to hold Teddy accountable for that crap. Has there ever been accountability with Vic? Seriously.
No.
I'm being serious.
Nope.
I'm not.
Nope.
It's not pick on Vic moment, pick on Vic day.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is pick on Vic day.
Sure. Let's do it then. Let's pile on if you want to. But has there ever been any accountability? We have got a lot of instances. Has there ever been accountability besides Vic finding those quarterbacks?
No.
Which, has there ever been any real, like, No. This guy's paying the price for this.
No.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me deconstruct that a little bit. First of all, do you believe there was serious accountability behind the scenes?
I do believe there was. If you put that film in front, as Teddy Bridgewater said, in front of the entire team, and you showed it, that is, I mean, that is, like you said, sink under the chair and just be like, I am so embarrassed.
Okay, if you suspect that happened, and that's a pretty big deal, do you think, do you think Stoke would then want your coach to come out and blast your teammate publicly? Or would you want that to stay in-house?
Stay in-house. I don't want, you don't win.
So is Stoke just there talking as a fan or as a former player? Because I would think the former player in him would not want a head coach to come out and throw a player under the bus publicly like that.
I don't think that's what Stoke is saying. I think he's saying you.
Sure he is. That's what I heard both of them say. They wanted Vic Fangio to come out and trash Teddy Bridgewater publicly, hold him up for a public flogging as an example of this is what you cannot do.
Okay, I wasn't listening.
And this will never happen again on my watch. That's what I heard.
From that soundbite,
From that soundbite.
Yeah, I don't know that I heard. I think it's the overall.
They had just played the Vic Fangio press conference. I was listening as they were airing the press conference and then interact. They were upset that Vic Fangio, given more than one opportunity, did not come out and publicly condemn Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, I think the reason, and I don't think that would ever be right, but Stokely would never want, if he had a bad game or didn't do whatever, like, and they singled him out in a team meeting, that's one thing. You don't want your coach ever to come out and blast you. This game is hard, man, to blast you publicly in front of the media and kind of remove all doubt. You don't want that. You don't want that to happen. But I do understand his frustration. I understand his frustration about accountability.
Absolutely.
From an organizational standpoint.
Absolutely.
With Vic and everybody else. I get that.
Boy, people. All right, here's one. Nearly lost the leg? Who cares? Then stay home and take care of your leg. If you're going to be on the field, you need to go out and put forth the effort.
Wow.
Oof. Wow. Hey, man, listen. I don't agree with the decision either. It was embarrassing. He owned up to it. Based on what Mark has told us, that was one uncomfortable moment he had to go through having that thing shown in front of the entire team. But man, oh man. Little bit of forgiveness here?
Right.
Listen.
Broncos country has spoken. Ooh. They are tired of the garbage they have witnessed for the last five years.
But can we be honest, though, that this one incident is just being used. I get it. It's being used as the vehicle now to unload 6 years of frustration, 6 years of losing,
sure,
6 years of bad coaching, 6 years of dysfunctional front office work, 6 years of terrible quarterback play, and it just feels like this one moment is being used as the, that's it, kaboom.
I think it is.
I'm just using this as a way to just unload and unleash 6 years of disgust, frustration, anger, apathy. It's all boom. This is my vehicle to do it.
And this is really my fault.
On top of it, now you got to wait, right? I mean,
you have to wait.
Now you just have to sit.
Folks, I've been telling you this for a week. You're just going to have to wait. This thing is
no,
not.
No, but I mean, you have to wait. Like, the Broncos can't rectify it. They got a bye week. Now, you as a fan, you can't at least see them go out and see how do they respond to this? Because they're going to be off doing whatever it is they do. Yeah, this is just the frustration. You can hear it on the, you can see it on the text line. The frustration is boiling over with the fan base right now.
We leave on a laugh. Good job. This is Patrick in Evergreen. Sorry, guys, I'm just tuning in. Did Teddy lose his onions?
Just on one play.
And you know what? Look, it's been an intense last 2 days. Just to give you a heads up, start to prepare. Work on your homework, okay? Mm-hmm. You have an assignment. Tomorrow we're going to have some fun. Loosen it up a little bit. It's time to get Mark back in the crosshairs.
And by the way,
it's time to get the Armada together. We're going to storm I Told You So Island. Tell me why I'm wrong Wednesday coming up tomorrow.
And
those beaches will be open for this weekend.
Just to clarify, I don't want to see your onions.
All right. Stop. That'll do it. Thank you so much for the wow. Hey, we always want honesty. We want your passion. Boy, was it evident today. Man, you brought it strong. There's no doubt about that. Nate and Chad coming your way next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.